This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you're hiring, posting your job on just one site isn't enough.
No, it's not, CeCe. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Let ZipRecruiter's powerful technology match your job to the right candidates, because you don't want to hire the wrong ones.
You can't.
No. And use their simple dashboard to find your perfect hire. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
So try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
You're getting so good at doing commercials. Well, baseball season is in full swing, and the New York Yankees, CeCe, as you well know, they are keeping their eye on the ball.
Yes, and as the standings are heating up, there's nothing better to quench your thirst than an ice-cold, refreshing Pepsi.
So if you're going to the ballpark for a tailgate, or you just plan on watching the game from home with a couple of buddies, be sure to grab a Pepsi.
Because it pairs perfectly with game day grub like hot dogs, hamburgers, brats, pizza, peanuts, and popcorn.
Thirsty yet?
I am.
So remember, when you're stocking up on Pepsi, complete your roster with our other delicious options like Diet Pepsi and Pepsi Zero Sugar. True story, this past week, like I've been jet lagged after coming back from Ireland. Diet Pepsi is the only thing that got me through all the games I broadcast.
What?
Yeah, and I
saw that on your story the other day,
you
too.
Do,
you had a Diet Pepsi
yeah,
right
man,
there.
And I like a lot of times, like I don't have caffeine. The Diet Pepsi saved me there.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so thank you to Pepsi for that.
It's sure to be a winning lineup.
No doubt. Pepsi is a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees and this podcast. So the funny thing, today, Lebatard, like, producer calls me out of the blue because they were talking about my pronunciation of Giannis.
Giannis.
Yeah, because nobody knows how to pronounce it. It's Adetokunbo. So like,
really? It's
Adetokunbo? Adetokunbo. Yeah. It's
really?
It's Adetokunbo. So the D, in the name, you see the T, right? The T is pronounced as a D, and at the end, the way the M P is together is pronounced as a B. But nobody like studies this or whatever. And I've asked him. I've talked to Spiro Dedis, who's Greek and knows him well, and so it's confusing, though, because if you watch enough games and you hear enough people saying it different ways, you question yourself.
Yeah. But even, welcome like, with me, media. Sometimes people call me Sabathia or Sabathia. but, like, with him, I'm sure he don't even correct him. He's just like, whatever.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so you don't even...
It's true.
Yeah.
By the way, if somebody's calling you Sabathia at this point...
No, like, who's calling you Sabathia to your face?
Like that.
People like that still, like...
Really?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Ryan Rucco here. You know, we're excited today to bring you sort of a special episode of R2C2, because back when this was just a concept before the start of the baseball season, CeCe and I went into the Players Tribune studios and we chopped it up with Jay Williams, who you guys obviously know as the lead college basketball analyst for ESPN and, you know, an outstanding player at Duke and a high draft pick from the Bulls. And he also is involved with Players Tribune. So we went in and we chopped it up just as a pilot to see what the vibe was and if we were ready to start on this podcast journey, CeCe and I together and with the Players Tribune. And we ended up having a blast with Jay. And it ended up being an awesome conversation and interview. And we thought it was so good that we should probably put it out as his own episode. So when you hear things about the NBA playoffs, don't freak out. It's just because we're going back in time to when R2C2 was just a dream and Jay Williams helped CeCe and I make it all come true. So enjoy the pilot of R2C2.
That's your number one job as a broadcaster.
To get that right.
Is to get the name right. Yeah. You know, Giannis's family, they deserve to hear Adetokunbo without like, onto the... I want to know when the last time somebody pronounced your name incorrectly, though, was.
Yeah, I want to hear a story about that.
Literally, like, the last time, where were we just at? Oh, Boys and Girls Club dinner we had in spring training. And the guy gets up, he was like, yeah, you know, Sabathian's been here like 9 years. And everybody on the whole team's laughing, everybody's cracking up, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
That's
but
bad,
all the time,
man.
Bro. It happens a lot.
Wait, would you correct somebody?
I don't correct
them. Just go with it.
Whatever, yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I find you're right. Most athletes don't care. Like, I would care. But, if you were taking my name and did, like, the super Italian version, then I wear it as, like, a badge of honor. If you're like, Rocco, I'm like, yes, that's right. Like,
you guys have good problems, though. See, because I get the confusion. I get the confusion with, well, is he the one? Is he white chocolate? Or is he the guy that, like, did you shoot your chauffeur in New Jersey? I'm like, damn, I'm from Jersey too. Like, I can't run away from that. So at least you guys got that, you know, going for you.
You know, that's true too. Like,
it's embarrassing, man.
There aren't subtleties with, like, the Jay Williamses of the world, right? Like, they're all you guys are very defined. Yet, yeah. You know, you don't want to be the Jason Williams who was on the Nets. Like, that's not who you want to be.
First off, I get people that say, hey, way to shoot somebody. I'm like, I didn't shoot anybody. So he spent a lot of time doing stuff like that. And then it seems like every time he did something crazy, I happened to be in the location. So in Durham, he supposedly got caught with a DUI, hit a pole, and then moved himself over to the passenger seat side. Have you guys never heard this story?
No.
Moved himself over to the passenger seat side of the car and then claimed that the person that was in the car ran away. And my ass happened to be right in Durham at the same time. I'm like, and then they just came out with this whole NBA 3-on-3 thing, right? So white chocolate's playing in it. And I've had so many calls be like, yo, I'm so happy you're getting back on the court. You're going to play my ball. I'm sitting here like, damn, I can barely walk out there. It's not a 20-minute workout. I'm not getting back.
So what y'all think about that 3-on-3?
It's interesting because I think of the USFL, right? And, like, it was in the summer. And, actually, my father worked for it, so I've always been, like, biased towards the USFL and thinking it could have worked. And they were popular in the summer because – the sport is so big. If you give people the sport at a time when it's not being played, a lot of times people will get into it. But it's just like, what are you playing half court? Like, I don't know, man, right? Yeah. Like, I
want to see AI play, though.
I kind of feel like there's certain people.
I kind of feel like it's a possibility he might not show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to turn it on just to see if he shows up.
But hold on. Are you going to, like, if you're in an arena, right, how many seats are going to be sold in a full arena for those games?
Struggling to sell out, like, NBA games.
I think they should have did it outdoors.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The guys aren't, they can get hurt. Like, they're not risking, you know, their careers anymore. Like, make it at a fun venue where we can go and, like, you know, enjoy it instead of indoors. I mean, in the summertime, you know, make it out like an outdoor 3-on-3.
Like,
thing,
that you would go, right, because then that it's a different atmosphere. Yeah, right,
you
right.
You had it in Venice Beach or you had it here at
Rucker Park.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be awesome.
You know, when you're done, we're going to have to try and get you to, like, just go to random wiffle ball leagues. Same kind of deal.
I'm going to be Central Park playing softball.
Are you?
For sure, yeah.
You can't wait to hit. That's what that's about.
I'm going to be right there DHing playing first base.
That's true.
I cannot wait.
You know, you really can't wait to hit, though.
I hit on Friday.
Did you?
Yeah, I just ordered. No, I'm this Friday coming up. Okay. I just ordered batting gloves and everything coming down here, so I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of bat you use?
I only use bats of guys that hit homers. So, on this team, I'll use Chris Carter's bat. So, in years before, I would use, like, Adam Dunn's bat. I had Ken Griffey Jr. bat. So, only guys that hit – those bats have homers in them. So, you got to use those bats.
Is that the mentality, like, when you step up to the plate? Like, you're saying, I'm about to hit a homer?
Oh, that's it.
That's it. That's the only thing you think about.
That's the only reason I'm coming up here for is to hit a homer. Like, anything less than that is not, you know, I mean.
CeCe gets mad when he gets up with a runner on second and nobody out because he knows he's going to be asked to bunt. He's like, no, you're
wrong. I want nobody on, two outs. Like, just let me hit a solo homer. That's it.
Usually pitchers room for run support. He's like, I want the bases empty.
Nobody on.
That's right.
Nobody out.
But you know what's funny? Like, you can actually hit, though.
Yeah.
Like, do they let you take BP?
Yeah, we take, like, that's the funnest part. Like, this whole week I'll be able to hit and take BP and plus hit at Yankee Stadiums because I want to see, like, if I can hit a ball as far as Greg Bird. You know what I mean? Like, you see all these homers and stuff. So it's fun. I think they should do interleague where we hit at home. Because
that's a good idea.
New York, like, we never get to hit in front of our home fans as American League pitchers.
That's a great idea.
So it'd be cool to be able to get my name called, like, at Yankee Stadium. Instead of always having to hit on the road, you know, so.
Have you ever lied to yourself? Like, you know, maybe you give up three hits in a row, and you're like, no, I am the best pitcher.
Right.
Like, get my head out of my head. Like, it's time to get going.
Right.
Yeah. Like, have you ever had a situation like that?
All the time. You have to. I mean, I feel like, even if, you know, I could get bases loaded, nobody out, and I still tell myself I'm one pitch away. One pitch away from getting out of this. You know what I mean? You always got to stay positive and just make sure – even like you said, just lie to yourself or, hey, I mean, sometimes I go out there, like, I leave the bullpen, I know I have nothing. I'll be like, I'm going to get their ass today. But I know I got, like, absolutely nothing. In my head, I'm telling the other guys, be ready because Joe's going to be calling pretty quick. So,
but you know what? Like, that's got to be even more satisfying than when you get through a start like that, when you don't have your best stuff and you can kind of grind through it mentally, right?
Of course, yeah. And I think that's why, I think you need good catchers because you need to be able, like, if you don't have something – Me, I'm stubborn. So if I don't, I mean, there's never a day that I don't have anything, according to me, in my head, you know.
You won't cut a pitch ever.
I won't cut a pitch. Okay. That's my problem.
Oh, okay,
you know what
gotcha.
I mean? So sometimes, you know, Mac or Roe, you know, McCann before here, Roe, he'd be like, we can't throw the changeup no more. I'm like, why? Like, no, we can't throw the changeup. You know what I'm saying? I can never cut a pitch. So it's good for me to have catchers that be like, no, we're going to scrap this one today and, you know, pick it back up the next start.
You know what I always wonder about that, too? Like, you, Gary Sanchez, he's one of your young catchers, and we know that dude's a stud. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't speak a ton of English, right? How do you communicate with him? If you're relying that much on the catcher to guide you, how do you communicate with him?
It's baseball, so it's like, you know, universal language. We pretty much understand each other, you know. And his English has gotten a lot better. He worked really hard this offseason. And it's hard sometimes with him being young and me being old as I am for him to be like, hey, you know, we got to go this way. But I always try to make sure that, you know, every time I see Sanchez or, you know, he's sitting by himself or something, I go, you know, sit down with him, talk to him just to get to know him as a person. So he feels comfortable enough to be like to come with me. And our relationship is good enough where he's like he can say certain things and I won't take offense to it. That makes sense.
Isn't that always weird? Like, it depends on your relationship, right? If somebody, you need to have the...
That's always... I feel like my relationships are everything with me on the field.
Yeah.
You know, my relationship with Jorge Posada was great. It started with Victor Martinez. Like, and I just always wanted to feel like Francisco Cervelli, we're really close. I always wanted to feel that connection with my catcher, and it just makes me feel more comfortable on the mound.
Because otherwise you're going to be offended, or you're not going to, you know, you're going to get defensive when somebody, you know, gives you some sort of critique or whatever. Sometimes, like, you need to find, I feel like, the right people to accept that criticism or critiquing from, right? Otherwise it's not going to be productive or useful for you.
Well, I feel like that's a byproduct of a good team. Right, that's a byproduct of a good leader, because, you know, a lot of times a lot of these younger dudes get drafted or however you play your way up through the system and you go to a bad team, and when there's not that communication there, think about what that does to the psyche of a team. Now, I was reading this article with it was on a TPT with Russell Westbrook, and Enes Kanter broke his arm because I don't know if you heard about
he punched
in January, he punched the chair and fractured his arm. And in that moment, like, recognizing what another player is going through, Russell said, I knew that he felt worse than anybody else could make him feel. So how do I keep him engaged? How do I keep him invested? How do I make him understand, like, hey, look, shit happens sometimes. We all make dumb decisions. But now I'm going to judge you on what you do after that decision. Like, are you still engaged with the team? I think those are the kind of leaders, like CeCe we were talking about. Like, they take your team to a different level, because there are not a lot of you guys out there, man.
Yeah.
Like, the reality of it is.
No, and I think, I mean, that's a great example of, you know, we all understand how bad you feel. It's, you know, it's on your leader to not make it worse or not get, you know, come in and yell at him. Like, he knows he made a mistake. So if Russ would have came in and got down on him, it would have just put him in a bigger hole. You know what I'm saying? And it felt like everybody is on him. So. You take your cues from your leader, and the way they react is the way the team's going to react, you know?
You have a close relationship with Derek Jeter, and I find, like, people would always – the one thing that people would always publicly maybe get on Derek about was, like, how come he's not more, you know, vocal to the media about what's going on? And I would always defend it and say, hold on a second, like – he's not trying to lead to the media. He's doing whatever he has to do within the team, not for you, not for a show, for those reasons. But you're the person who can actually tell us what it was like to have him as a leader.
He was very vocal as a leader. I mean, and immediately he would see something, somebody not running out a ball down the line. Immediately he would say, you know, not embarrassingly, but you know Jeet's going to say something to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Wear the wrong thing to an event or something. Jeet's going to say something. The other day... We had the welcome home dinner. Everybody had suits and tie on. You know, I'm trying to be stylish. I had like a Givenchy t-shirt under my suit with some tennis shoes. And he came tap me. He was like, what are you doing? I'm like, you ain't here no more. I can do whatever I want. But no, he was just like, you know, I mean, he's going to keep everything in line. And that's just how he is. And you kind of fall in line with that. You know what I mean? You know certain things that you can and can't get away with. And you know, he's going to check you every time, though.
Isn't that amazing, though? Like, the first thing you said was he was very vocal. And I think that...
I would never thought that.
Right. The people who aren't in that clubhouse probably have no idea.
And I think that's the way he wanted it. As long as everybody that really mattered knew that what was going on, I think he was fine with it.
You ever see him get really mad at someone in that clubhouse?
I've seen him get mad, yeah.
Yeah?
I've seen him get mad. And I think that... I think guys don't take it wrong, and I was going to say this earlier to this point, that me and Posada's relationship was really good, and if it wasn't, the way he talked to me a lot, it would have been bad, because people were always like, man, why you let him talk to you like that? But I just know that's him. You know what I'm saying? So, and the same thing with Derek. Derek's relationship with everybody was so good that he can get pissed off at you and yell at you, and you take it like, all right, that makes sense.
Right.
Because, you know, it's coming from a good place.
That's the only way you can accept those kind of messages is if you have what you're talking about, those relationships. Because otherwise, it's like, wait, hold on a second. You go back attacking them.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's like this. When you step your foot in between those lines or in that field, you're in battle, right? I sometimes think people forget that. Like, you're in battle. I don't have time to sit there and say, how do I properly say this to you to make sure that you're okay? Like, sometimes I may say things that may not be appropriate, but you understand it comes from a good place.
Yeah.
That being said, have you ever had a moment with Derek, with Jeet, or with Posada where he said something where you're like, damn, I was not expecting that, but okay, okay, like, all right.
Sato all the time. I would make certain pitches or do certain things, and he'd be like, man, you fucking lucky. Like, throw the ball over the plate. Like, I'm like, throw the ball to me. And I'm like, bro, like, it's five innings, no runs right now. And he's yelling at me. I'm like, but I mean, he's trying to get me to the next level. He wants, you know, for me to take that next step in my career. And I ended up winning 21 games with him. And I never won, you know, over 19 before. And, you know, it was all because of him pushing me to that next, like, nah, let's, like, don't be satisfied with this. Like, let's go.
He ever say something one of those times and you snap back at him?
I'm always snapping back, so I don't think he took it too personally either. I mean, we're just going back and forth.
I would never think that about you, see. When competition starts,
I'm horrible, man. I'm bad.
Because when people see you, I'm like, yo, this big teddy bear.
Yeah.
But then you look back at those videos of those Jackie Bradley matchups again, and you see that CC.
Jackie Bradley, it's all over, man. It's everybody. But
when does it happen? Who, like, because there are times where you'll walk off the mound. Like, let's say you punch someone out, and you'll just be like, you know, it looks like you're like cursing back at him, like, get that whatever out of here. Or when does that trigger?
I don't know. It just happens. it don't even have to be a big spot. It could be in the third inning. It could be in the second inning. It could be in the seventh inning. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I get like riled up, and it could be whoever. It could be, you know, some of my best friends I'm yelling at the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I want to beat you that bad. And especially if I know you, I mean, it's even worse if you're my friend.
See,
you know, but I mean, I want to win that bad every time I'm out there.
That goes back to what you're saying, Jay. Like, we all the time, we take it out of the context of what it's like when you're at the peak of competition. You know, we ask athletes to do the most primal of activities and stay incredibly disciplined as they do, and then we get shocked when their emotions or energies take them to a place that seems slightly uncivilized for a moment. And it like the other day, you know, CeCe, I know you were watching the game, and Jay, I know you've been into the NBA playoffs. You know, at the end of the Bucks win over the Raptors, when Giannis Antetokounmpo blocks DeMar DeRozan at the rim, like, just emphatically, and he screams.
He gets a technical foul
for screaming. That's, it's the playoffs. Yeah, what do you horrible, want him to yeah. do yeah. in that moment? Like, what? You want him to not care?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing. If CeCe's not going to be able to yell coming off the mound, or I used to talk about this with Jabba and the fist pumps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't want that emotion, A, you're going to have a worse television product, because that's great TV, and B, you're going to have people not caring, because that's what happens when you care that much and you're competing like that. That's how the emotion comes
that
out.
That was just raw, like, emotion.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, to finish the game off, that was awesome.
Exactly.
But yeah. By the way, we're all human beings. There are storylines within sports. I sometimes think fans forget, because you're watching the game from the outside looking in, that you see all these great athletes, and you, oh, this is so good. Like, there's such this uber level of athleticism, but you don't recognize. Like, there were some players that I looked forward to playing more against in the league than I did other players. Like, there were some, like, sometimes even doing things like, you know, stealing the ball and laying the ball and trying to dunk the ball and just looking at you and not even saying a word. Just to psychologically, for you to know that, like, oh, yeah, I'm in this moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I love for, like, Giannis when he blocked that shot.
Yeah.
Like, he sent a message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, all right, like, I'm going to try to block every damn shot.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But that settles in your mind.
And nothing, like, more than playing against somebody that you feel like has a mental edge on you. You know what I mean? Like you said, I'm in this moment. Like, that scares you as another athlete. Like, if you're not really there, if you can't match that, you beat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. Like, you're beat that night.
Who's that hitter? Who is that hitter for you where you're like, oh, man, he's got me.
Be careful
like,
now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the game when it happens. I'm going
to
be right there.
The guy that I'm always trying to, like.
Like, match wits with in that sense. Like, you feel like they walk to the plate and they have that edge, and you're like, oh, man, I got to get him.
Longoria is tough for me.
Yeah.
He's a tough out. And I feel like he's always thinking with me. You know what I'm saying? I can't outthink him. You know what I mean? He's always a tough out for me. He hits the ball where it's pitched really well at, you know, all fields, and he just gives me a tough time.
What's that what's that mental, intellectual conversation that you think you're having with him across from the pitcher's mound to the batter's mound? No, seriously, I'm curious to hear about that.
I mean, I throw a fastball in, and I'm like, and he takes it good, and I'm like, so, like, what are you looking for? You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking for, I'm trying to watch his feet, and I'm trying to, like, watch him if he's watching me, you know what I'm saying, to see if, because a lot of hitters are too, will see, you know, try to watch your body language to see how you're feeling that day, or, like, you know, if you meant to throw the ball there, or if you're looking at the catcher like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So they try to figure out too.
Will you watch then to see if someone, like, shifts in the box at all?
Yeah, I can always tell if somebody moves up in the box or moves this way or like what they're trying to do.
So essentially you can tell if somebody's nervous at the plate or not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Or you can see if they're trying to, because if a guy moves in the box, he's changing what he does to for you. So, I mean, he's just working to my strengths. You know what I mean? If he's trying to move around in the box. So I feel like I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're not comfortable, because that's not normally where you hit.
So there's this psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Like each every batter. That's exhausting.
It really is, though.
And I'm thinking, as you're saying that, and there's all these cues you have to pick up on, right? Every single batter. I'm thinking about, like, I know the kind of scouting reports you get also, like, for every batter, how specific they are now. I don't know how much they've changed when you came into the league.
But crazy.
So, like, are you on the mound thinking, like, okay, I know if I'm ahead 1-0 on Longoria, he hits only 23% of the time I throw inside slider.
See, I don't know percentages. Some guys do. Okay. I don't know percentages. I just know, like, the hot and cold. And I want to know – I don't want to know, like, the percentages of your whole career. I want to know what the last 2 weeks what you have done.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Because – in the, you know, those big broad numbers.
Yeah.
That can be from 5, 6, 7 years ago. I want to know the last 2 weeks where you've been hitting the ball and what you've been doing with certain pitches in the zone.
Are you seeing, like, as you look at home plate, are you seeing a hot cold zone?
Yeah. Oh,
that's interesting. It's
weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So
if a guy steps in the box, a right handed hitter, whoever it is, I can see, like, where I can throw the ball.
That's interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So some guys, like Longoria, there's no spot. I'm looking at him, I'm like,
you see all red?
Yeah. He's not going to hit it really hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're hiring, posting your job on just one site isn't enough.
CC, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
And CC, I know you've done that research to find the 80% number, because ZipRecruiter, it means a lot to you. I know it does. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. It's not normal. We're giving you a great deal. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
I'm a little bit crazy, though, and that, I'll be curious to hear how you get yourself pumped up for games, because I had to, you know, playing 82 games when I did play for a year, so many possessions, so many games with the travel. I'm bitching about so many games.
to the guy who plays 162.
Exactly.
Well, he only pitches 32.
But so, like, I use scouting report more so to intimidate the player I was playing against, right? So I remember one time we were playing against Gary Payton. And it was in a scouting report that every time he'd put the ball in his left hand more than one or two dribbles, he wasn't going to shoot. He was going to drive, right? So if I was guarding him, obviously you get pumped up for GP, but I'm like, all the ball's in his hand two times. He's driving. He can't shoot after two dribbles. So I would say it out loud almost to say, like, challenge you, like, okay, now let me see you do a jump shot after two.
Yeah.
And I saw him do it a couple times, and he didn't make it. So then you just confirm what the scouting report says. I don't know. I had to find a way to get myself to that level of competition, because sometimes you get tired. Sometimes I don't know how you think about it. Like, sometimes I got family shit that's going on. Sometimes I got, you know, business stuff that's going on that's on my mind, and I had to find a way to get myself engaged. Have you ever gone through something like that where?
Yeah, but it's different for me because I'm pitching, you know, and I only pitch 35 starts a game. So, you know, if I was a position player, I always tell those guys, it's hard to do what they do, playing every day how you guys play or, you know, in basketball. But for me, like, if I can't get up for 35 games, I'm in, you know, like, I need to go sit on the couch. Like, like I'm hyped. And I have to go do reverse. I have to, like, keep myself calm because I get too hyped. And I used to be a guy that, you know, you see how I am before games now where I'm really calm and, like, I like to have fun and I want to laugh and I want to relax.
And you'll talk with guys. Like, a lot of pitchers don't. CC will. Yeah. Like,
if I'm the headphones guy and I'm walking around, I get too – I'm a football player, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I want to run the ball to the plate, you know what I mean? So I have to, like, relax myself and, like, make sure that I stay under control.
Wow, so you're like classical music.
Rap or, like, you know, whatever you listen to, get yourself stuck. Like, you're trying to even yourself out.
I'm trying to even myself out. And I always tell the last couple starts, I've been telling Judge to put music on. Like, you pick the music. Like, and I want everybody to get engaged. Like, everybody feel what I'm feeling and, like let's do this together.
So what's being put on?
He's been putting on a lot of Future lately.
Really?
A lot of Future lately. That Drake album just came out, and then that Kendrick. Yeah. We played the Kendrick the last on Saturday. So
you like it?
That worked out.
Yeah. No, CC was excellent. So that's got to be the album then that you play your next star too, right? Or no? Are you not that superstitious?
It just depends on how. No, I'm not that superstitious about my music. But I am superstitious, really.
Really?
But not about the music that I play. So.
You like the Kendrick album?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I sense some hesitancy.
No, because it's great and the beats are dope and I like Kendrick and I really want to like him, but he goes over my head. I'm not that smart, man. Like, he's over my head. You know what I'm saying?
Stuff,
I'm like, he's next level, bro. And I'm like, I have to rewind everything and I want to listen to it. Like, you know, but I really like him. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in the same boat. I think it's fair to say, guys, we're getting fucking old.
Right?
We're getting old. Like, it's happening. Really, like, I'm like, what dance is that? I don't know how to do that. Like, how do I? Like, do you see it all the time with your kids?
Oh, my God. He's rapping songs and shit. I'm like, what is this? Like, who is this? I don't even know what this shit is. Like, I don't know what's going on. He makes me feel old, you know?
Yeah. Now, will you put on, like, ever, like, let's say, like, how old's Lil C now?
13. Yeah.
He's your oldest, right?
He's the oldest,
So, and CC has four kids. When you were in the car, like with Lil C, will you put on like Biggie or something? Be like, yo, this is.
Oh,
like,
no, he's in charge of the aux cord when he's in the car. Oh, yeah, I can't even touch the cord.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah, no, he's in charge of it. So it's like Lil Uzi Vert or some shit like that I got to listen to in the car all the time. So
you just have to be able to accept it.
You know, he's always like, oh, that's old school.
It's amazing listening to kids and all the new songs that are coming out and me starting to recognize it. Okay, like that was a beat I heard like 15 years ago. You know, and I listened to my dad. My dad's like, well, that's a beat I heard 35 years ago. I'm like, damn, okay. It's almost cyclical, you know?
Right.
To a certain degree. Would it be inappropriate baseball-wise to pitch with your phone and your iPod, your headphones
like,
on?
Like, if you had little iPod.
Where he's swaying. It's Big Papa. He's listening on the mound. He's swaying.
Hardball.
How come we can never cry, man?
Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But we're talking about,
yes.
like, baseball, like, coming into this new generation. Like, I mean, how much do you really need to hear when you pitch?
No, you don't. I mean, but.
Like, why wouldn't you be able to have.
Even, I think there are rules against it.
Why would you put it over the stadium?
Rules.
Yeah.
The rules that have been in place for over 250 years.
But play it over the stadium like the NBA where they play current songs. Or even in between innings with the songs that they play, like the Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
Play something else. Play a hip-hop song. You know what I mean? Like, play something that's going to get people hype. Baseball, just they stick to the same regimented, like, kind of boring things that are safe. Instead of, like, stepping out of the box and, like, trying to get people
look
to
at that pun instead of stepping out of the box. Well done.
Can you imagine though if like the home team controls it and you just like when the opposing hitters are stepping to the plate, you're just like throwing on I don't know what
I
to mess
it.
With them.
Just to mess them all time.
Like and it's playing as they're at the plate. Like
psychological warfare.
That's right.
That's the kind of stuff you want to see.
You could never like you couldn't date anyone in the music industry because they'd just be messing with you over that like as you step up to the plate. Every time they'd be doing that. You know, I mentioned before like that movie Hardball made me cry, and I wanted to ask you guys like you get because I find like a lot of times like a lot of athletes I know they will be into movies and they will go to them a lot. What's the last like good movie you saw in the theater to see?
The last thing, Boss Baby with my kids.
Oh yeah,
I heard that's hysterical. I didn't see it, but I heard it's hysterical.
Was it good?
It was good. No, but the last movie me and my wife went and seen. Wow, it's been a while. But we normally go. We try to go at least twice a month.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, but it's just been a while because I hadn't seen her, so. Beauty and the Beast is the last movie I went to.
It was fantastic.
I loved it. Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I've not seen it yet.
I loved it. It was great. It was great.
So, see, that's what's amazing. And that's the last movie I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
And I was like, people like, what? Now, I went alone. I went alone.
Whoa, time. That was even my follow-up
like, to go see that.
I did feel like a little, like, you know.
Like a pedophile, maybe?
It felt weird going to the theater alone to that movie. But it was so good.
Was it like a matinee or were you like 8 o'clock? No, this bitch movie's at 8 o'clock by yourself.
Nighttime, you're rolling her by yourself.
We're in trouble, bro.
It wasn't like a night date with myself. It was like I was on the road in Washington, D.C., and it was cold and rainy. And normally if I'm there, I'll like walk around to the monuments and stuff, but it was like not that kind of weather. And I had back-to-back Wizards games, so I was just had days off there. So I was like, I really want to go see Beauty and the Beast. But, like, I don't know. Like, am I allowed to? Like, is that okay?
No, that's fine. Long as the sun is up. Yeah. If you by yourself
okay.
and it's
if the sun is up. So this is going to be my rule from now on.
I don't know
like,
if it's okay.
I'm fine with that.
I would have maybe asked my niece or a friend, like somebody just to come with me for moral support.
But I was in D.C., right? So
that's
I can't
right.
like,
by yourself.
I could go on like Raya and try and get someone to just like quick come with
you
me.
Give, you just give Raya a plug?
I did.
The fact that you know about that website is very concerning because I knew it.
That's right. You know what? Because we watch Billions. That's why we know about that website. But I think like, it was so good. I was like blown away by that. Also, like I felt a little better because like I was just watching it, thinking about Emma Watson as my future wife the whole time. She's adorable, man.
It's kind of weird how she's transitioned into almost kind of sexy.
I know, right?
Not used to seeing that.
Well, you had her as little Hermione for her whole life in Harry Potter, and now she's like, you know, which you know what's funny too, like. I don't know if you find, but you watch all. You've seen the Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And like. Now it's like, so you're 36.
Yeah.
I'm 30. 35. You're 35. Right. So now it's like, it's not like, that stuff's not like little kids anymore. Like, we all like kind of like got into that at some point earlier on, right? So it's not like,
are you talking about that? Are you finding ways to justify it?
I am.
That's you're talking yourself through the process, which is interesting.
You, there was only one reason I ever wanted to do this podcast. That was to justify the social endeavors that I partake in. But I know CeCe's into that kind of stuff too. Like, it's different for generations. You gotta get comfortable.
I went a different direction. I actually saw the first movie I saw with my girl last night. She's Lebanese, and it kind of messed me up. And I was going to ask you guys your thoughts on it. Get Out.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. I don't like to be scared.
I fell asleep on it though.
Really?
Yeah. I did.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It was some dry parts to me, but I mean, it was good. I mean,
You're
the parts
the
where I was
only person
up,
I've heard say that
I
about.
Fell asleep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to say that because everybody say, "Oh, it's so
it's
great,"
amazing,
and I
feel
like. I fell asleep on it.
No, you can be like the guy who found the band first. Then, like, you know, I'm over it. I don't need it. So, what messed you?
Well, just because my girl's Lebanese and she's from Indiana, and all of her family like they're like all Lebanese and white pretty much. And I'm a black guy dating her, and I found it interesting that the guy's like, "Oh yeah, come out meet my family." And the guy's like, "Well, does your family know I'm black?" And she's like, "Why does it matter?" And you're like, "It matters. It matters for a whole lot of different reasons." And I don't know. It was just kind of you haven't seen it, so I don't want to give it away.
I haven't seen it yet. But one of my best friends is Lebanese, and I know the way. You know, like he always tells me traditionally. They love, you know, to keep it in the Lebanese family. Yeah. Whether you were, you know, black or just straight American, like white, you know, Caucasian, doesn't matter. Anything. If you're from anywhere other than a Lebanese background.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, that's a barrier that has to be broken down for Lebanese people. So good luck.
Well, all right.
Dude, I didn't know quick for you.
We did say I was once tapped into Rise. So yeah, exactly. In case things go wrong, you always got backup there.
Yeah. I got – no, so you see
– Baby, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm really sorry. It's Ryan.
That's right.
Not
that's
me.
Right. I know a phrase in Arabic from my Lebanese friend that we use sometimes around shifta, and it means like, did you see her? So like, if you're trying to like, you don't want to like say like, hey.
Well,
yeah,
you don't need that.
Actually, that's no good for you.
Why would I say that?
You can't use it.
Why are you providing me with information that's not going to help me?
Let's hope she doesn't listen to this now. You can tell. But you like horror movies, see?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not a horror. I'm not a horror. Really? No, I'm not at all. I'm the scariest person ever. Like,
but you're scary.
Yes, big time.
Like,
like, Like, we have a house in Tampa, right, that we stay in the spring training. But we go there three times a year. We play down in Tampa. And, you know, when we first get there, it's nobody in the house. We usually get there at nighttime. And I, like, get in there, and I, like, go through the house, like, yelling and screaming to let people know I'm there. I'm like, hey, if you're here, I'm here. Like, I got a gun. Like, I'm running through the house. I'm the scariest person.
So wait, the situation happened at night. Like, your wife's in there, like, hey, babe, I just heard the alarm go off. You're like, hey, let's all go together.
Oh, yeah, no, like, if I hear something downstairs, I tap her and be like, hey, come with me right quick. Like, or I get the dog, I get Cherry, somebody to come with me. I got a German Shepherd. That's pretty crazy, so I'll get her to run with me. But no, I'm not going by myself. Taking out the garbage by myself, I turn on all the lights downstairs. Like, even to go down and get a drink at nighttime, I turn on all the lights in the hallway. She gets pissed because I turn on the lights by the kids' room. I don't care, like. That house gets dark.
If you have a sizable home, which let's just say CC does, right? Like, and you're there like alone or something like that. Like, I don't know if you're ever just staying at your house alone or someone's always like. And there's all these rooms you can't account for, like, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the ghost went in there or if the robbers in there. Like,
somebody
can
sleep downstairs. Like, I wouldn't even know.
Plus, guys, let's call for it is. It's always a guy's like, I'm going to go check it out. That ends up never fucking coming
back. Coming back, right? Okay. And I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
no. I'm not going to check it out.
The team right now.
No way. You got to tap the woman
Break
of the house.
Break the kids up. Hey, get up. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're on five deep downstairs right now.
Exactly. You know what I did?
One time, the last time we pulled up to the house in Tampa, and I pretended like I made the Uber driver get out with me and go in. I'm like, hey, I got my wallet in here. Like, come in here and get the money.
No. You're going to be the first one to go down. Everybody goes down.
Great. So I can push him in front of the killer if the killer in there.
So then you have to sleep with the lights on or
no,
like
no,
something
no,
on?
No, no, no. But if like, so like what you said, like if I'm there all day by myself and then, you know, I'm there, I'm fine. Yeah. But if I walk into it and nobody's there, then that's when I get scared.
Because you hate the feeling of being scared, right?
Yeah.
See, me too. That's why I don't want to watch horror movies, man.
You
because,
love it,
like,
huh?
I
do. I don't know. My mom always was a big sci-fi fan growing up. So I grew up watching all these, which is probably why I'm a little bit messed up. I watched It, right? I'm like, oh, I love clowns. Like, I'm like, why do I love clowns?
You're the only person
that
who
loves
has ever
clowns.
Said that.
I know, because I feel like half the time I want to knock them out.
Yeah, exactly. You love clowns.
I do. I'm into all that weird stuff. I don't know why.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying I'm into it in my personal life for it to happen in reality, but it's like to sit there and to be entertained by it. Yeah.
She's not just Lebanese. She's also a clown. That's good. Yeah, you got that probably would be a little bit too odd for the podcast. But no, I you know what though, like a lot of times, like depending on like what you were saying about kind of getting ready for a game and music, I'll use movies that way, like before a broadcast. Like if I want to feel good or like get in some kind of like comedic mode, like I'll put on a movie that I know does that for me rather than music sometimes, just because like I want to be in a certain frame of mind, you know? Like
what movies?
So like if I want to just like if it's going to be like I might do like Wedding Crashers, you know, like maybe Wedding Crashers, like just like a little bit humor and familiarity, or like, you know, to like go to sleep at night. Like I'll do that. It's got to be like I call it like home cooking, like kind of like just comfort food movie, like something that I know just like I can feel good going to sleep to, you know, like you guys ever seen the movie Beautiful Girls back in the day? Like Michael Rapaport, he's a good buddy. Like he's in that.
I haven't seen it.
It's a great movie. It's like all these great actors. One of their first movies. Natalie Portman's like 13. Like that's. It's just like a comfort food movie for me. You know, like gets me in a good frame of mind.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, you got it. Like it's just like another mode other than music to get you in the right like frame of mind where you just feel good going into whatever you're gonna do.
I'm learning more about you by the second, man.
That's
you went from Emma Watson and Natalie Portman.
That's it. Those are my kind of Anna Kendrick. You know, those are. I like the cute little like the cute mousy girls. Those are my. Like, those are, and I say that with affection. Like that's the kind I'm into, though. But so now you have another thing to go to. If it's not music, getting ready for a start.
Music.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question for you guys. Yeah. What do you guys do? Like, this is curiosity of mine because I know what I do. Like, when you have that off day and you're just at home by yourself.
If I'm at home, like if we're here, I'll try to like you know get out with my wife and do something. Maybe go to lunch in the city or something like that. But if we're on the road. It's like lights out, Netflix.
You're by yourself.
I'm by myself. Like I'm chilling. I'm probably gonna watch Netflix most of the day. Go grab a buddy, like one of the teammates, to go eat with right quick. And then, but I just love to like catch up on my shows, whatever that is, whether it's Netflix or anything that I have on demand. I like to get caught up on my off days. I just chill.
What time do you finally like get out of the hotel room? You'd say to go get something to eat.
1-2 o'clock on an off day.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, most of the times when we have off days, we get it. It's usually like 4 a.m. when we get in.
That's true. So you're sleeping late.
So we're sleeping late. Or like some, like me and McCann, we would order room service. Like when we got in at 5, we would just order room service on the bus and like have it be in the room and hang out for a little bit and then go to sleep at like 8.
Really?
Yeah, and then sleep all
day. So you guys would hang once you got in?
We would hang before.
Yeah.
If that, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
So you would hang when you land?
We hang when we land.
That's interesting.
So we fly in, land, hang out for a couple hours, and then have breakfast and then go to bed.
That's one of the things I always like. I feel bad. Like, I feel bad for you that he got traded. That was a good friend.
Boy,
you know,
that's
a buddy. Like,
yeah, that's my
you know,
boy.
You don't think about, like, okay, yeah, it made sense personnel-wise, but, like, now.
But, like, we FaceTime all the time.
You
know what I mean? Like, I was driving to the game the other day, FaceTime, and, like, that's my boy. I mean, it's just part of the game. You know, after 17 years, you get used to it. But, you know, he was one of my – he was one of the closest.
Who's now – like, who's the friend who, like, you can get room service with at 5 in the morning now?
Dylan. Me and Dylan.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
That's the
yeah,
homie.
Very,
he's, like, my little brother. Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
Is I'm really close with. Me and Guardy are close. I got some. Me and Big Mike. Big Mike's like – all of like, the pictures are, like, my little brother.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You got to, like, bring them along and show them these
things.
Yeah,
it's fun, man. Severino. So I like to hang out with those guys.
It's so cool, like some of the things, like, you know, retrospectively looking back on it, those moments that you had as an athlete that it just, you know, these are just your boys, but you're talking about the level of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in comparison to, like, when I think about my boys, I think about, like, my childhood boy, Dre. But you start thinking about other boys that you have, and you're like, wait, that guy does what?
Or that's
I'm a pitcher for the Yankees.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's like,
right.
It's not like your everyday boys, you know? It's kind of amazing.
No,
it's cool. It's cool for me to think back at some of the guys I got to hang out with, like the Ellis Burks and Robbie Alomar and Omar Vizquel on the same team. Like, those guys are Hall of Famers, you know?
Right.
Like Kenny Lofton, Juan Gonzalez. Like, it was fun to be the little brother on those teams, and they really treated me well. And I have some, like, you know, great experiences with those guys.
What's a piece of advice or some lesson that's, like, tangible that you learned from that group that you?
I think it was just the biggest thing for me was always from Dave Burba. Remember him, right?
Yeah, I remember Dave Burba. Yeah,
he would always tell me, just make sure that you're checking off your list every day. You know, whether that's working out hard, whether that's getting your arm carry in, whether that's making sure you're doing the right thing on the bullpen, sitting in the dugout the whole game, cheering for your teammates, so that when you get out there that you feel good about what you did the whole week leading up to your start. Like, hey, I did my first workout. I threw my bullpen hard, worked on my pitches. You know what I mean? Like,
check off the list
and make sure that you, when you get out there on the mound, that there's nothing stopping you. There's nothing in your head that you can say, hey, well, I didn't do this, so I'm not going to have success. Like, everything, you should feel good about going out there, but the way that you prepared that week.
That's a great image. So that image has stuck with you your entire career.
Big time.
That's good. How about you, Jay? Is there something, like, a piece of advice that you got, you know, whether it pertains to sports or just life, that you think about on a daily basis?
Yeah, my only thing is we got a chance to play the Lakers, and it's something I've been doing every single day of my life, just in media now. And, you know, I'm stoked at that time because you get a chance. That's when Shaq and Kobe were in the same squad, right? So they were winning championships. So I always got pumped up to play against, just like you get a chance to pitch against the best, right? I want to see how I compare against the best of the best. So I had this thing where I had to try to get up shots before a game. I try to get 400 made shots, all right? So I always.
Wow, before every game?
Yeah, before every game. Just because that's stuff that I saw MJ do, I saw other players do it. So I just want to be in that mindset. Once again, I told you a little bit crazy. So I remember I got to the gym like around like 2:30 and our game's at 7. I'm like, you know, get up 400 made shots. So I walk out on the court and I see Kobe Bryant out there already shooting, right? Like already in a dead sweat. So I'm sitting there, I put my shoes on, I'm watching all the shots that he's getting up like at game speed, put my shoes on and start to do my little thing, work out for about maybe an hour and a half, get up my made shots. I come back and I sit down. Now I'm dead tired, right? And I take off my shoes and I hear the ball bouncing at the other end of the court. I'm like, yo, this dude is still, he's still going. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, he's still going. And that dude gave us buckets that game. I mean, he gave Jalen Rose fits, he gave us fits. And after the game was over, I was passing him by in the locker room, and I'm like, yo, Kobe, like, why? Like, why? He's like, yo, because there's always somebody out there working to be better than me. And when I saw you, that motivated me. And I'm like, damn, you saw, like, who am I to motivate you? But, like, I motivate you because I came to get shots up early, and that forced you. He's like, I wanted to stay longer than you, and I want you to see that I was going to stay longer than you, and that when you were done, I was still going to go. Because that's, I'm like,
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, this is a different level. Like, this is another level I've never thought about.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I feel like the greats, like, they think that way. Like, you know, like him mentally thinking about how he's going to dominate somebody before he even gets to the mound. Like, that's just not preparation physically. That's psychological preparation that carries into, I'm curious, does that carry into other aspects of your life? Or is that just on, is that just in baseball?
That's only in baseball for me.
It's
only in baseball for me. And I think maybe because I'm so loose with everything else and I'm just so chill, that's that one thing that I can like be crazy about and it doesn't take over my life. You know what I mean? If that makes sense, because I have 4 kids and I have a wife and I want to be as normal as possible when I'm home, that when I go to the field and I can just turn it on and be nuts and just do my thing.
Yeah. Also in that domain, right? Like you're the authority, right? You're the one, there's no like having to consult those people about like how you get to be ready for your start, right? Like, you know, and it's up to you and you're going to determine all those things. Whereas in those other areas of your life, there's a million other things you have to account for in order to make each decision, right?
Exactly.
This is the one thing you have control over.
That I'm controlling.
Decision.
Yeah. And I love that. You
right.
know what I mean?
That's almost an anomaly, man. Think about how many people can't turn that switch off.
Yeah. But you know, it's for me I hear so many stories and saw so many people that were just kind of miserable with their families and like couldn't separate it. Like, my kids don't give a fuck if I give up 7 runs in 3 innings or if I throw a no hitter. Like, when I come home, daddy's home, and like that's all that matters, you know. And I want them to feel like, you know, I can reciprocate that love.
Yeah.
So I have to turn it off. Like, once I'm done and I do my interviews for that day, like I'm not thinking about what happened or it's turned off for me.
You get better at that as you've gotten deeper into your career?
I've gotten better as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more kids. You know? Yeah. Because it's just more demanding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I mean, I would go home and, you know, sit and talk to my mom or my wife or my dad. You know, he was alive back in the day, and it would just be too much. And I start thinking about everything and just piles up over weeks and weeks and weeks. And then once I was able to, like, separate that and be like, hey, once I get off the field and I do my interviews, I'm done with it. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm over it. I've gotten a lot better, and it's helped me personally.
You know what? This has been delightful and wonderful, and I think we have a lot more of this to come.
Wait, I have one more question for you.
I got one question too.
Oh, okay, good. I love it. You guys don't want to stop.
What's the next movie you're going to see alone?
Yo, when does the live action of Little Mermaid come out? That's what I want to know.
Make sure it's in the daytime, bro.
I can't wait to see who they cast as Ariel, man.
The Players Tribune. .com